This is our third week in talking about His Word in our world. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the actual Bible, God's Word, and that we need it in our personal lives. But it's more than just for our personal lives. It's God's world needs His Word. There's other people. So last week I talked about, and I'm using as my lead through these next weeks, I'm using O-U-R to lead us through that. Last week I used the O. And I talked about others, that we're all called to be missionaries. Every one of us is a missionary where we live, where we walk, who we see. We are the missionary, the ambassador of Christ that's been sent. But today I want to tackle the you. O-U. And that simply is going to stand for you. Y-O-U. You are part of what God wants to do. God wants to empower your life. He wants you to become the empowered witness that you need to be. Last week we read a scripture in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And here it is where Jesus tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us in understanding, Lord, the purpose of today. Lord, by your Spirit, help us to find what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, help me, I pray. Amen. There's a lot of questions about the Holy Spirit, a lot of misunderstandings on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a lot of questions that come, and a lot of them people do not understand, so the questions kind of sound stupid. I hear them, and that, because there's lack of understanding. I came across, I thought it was funny, and I told my girls this morning, they said, how does it fit, Dad? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you anyway. But here's some questions that were asked by lawyers at real trials, okay? This is one of the questions. Your youngest son, the 20-year-old, how old is he? How many of you feel like you've watched that on TV, you know? Here's another one. Now, was it you or your younger brother who was killed at war? Now, how far apart were the vehicles at the time of the collision? Think about that one. Now, and the last one was, you were there until the time you left. Is that true? And today, let me try to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit, because it can be a tough subject to deal with because people just don't know what questions to ask. But the Word of God is very clear that the Holy Spirit needs to be part of our lives, where we live. We need the operation of the Spirit in our daily living. We need to listen to the Spirit as He leads us. Now, I know that this teaching has been abused through the years. It can become unbalanced because of the focus on speaking in tongues. It can become unbalanced because it sets up for some sort of spiritual elitism. The haves and the have-nots. But all of this can cause us to miss what God really has for the church through His Holy Spirit because we don't know the answers. So I want to help you get a correct understanding of the Bible's teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it is of utmost importance to every one of you who are believers in this place today. I do not want you to miss what God has for His church, for His people, nor do I want you to miss the purpose of why we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Old Testament, there are two primary functions of the Holy Spirit. The first function of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, number one, is power. While the Spirit's empowering work is evident in the Old Testament, it was limited to a select few of individuals when the Spirit came upon them. And it was for a relatively brief period of time, and usually for a very specific purpose, like they would prophesy, or they would be a part of delivering, or the Holy Spirit would come upon the army and help them. It was for a time. But the Old Testament points forward to a new day when the Messiah would come, and he would bring a time when all of God's people would receive this empowerment ongoing. In Joel, he expresses that hope. Listen to Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. "And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen? That's for today. It was Peter on the day of Pentecost who stands up and begins to quote what Joel said and said, "This is what Joel talked about." All of that scripture is not yet fulfilled. The dreadful day of the Lord is coming, but everybody before that day who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how? Because of the outpour of the Holy Spirit into God's church, empowered. Now, in contrast to the Old Testament times, the Spirit's work, as I said, was limited to this select few. But the outpouring of His Spirit in our time, in our day, extends to all God's people, and it's characterized by the Spirit's empowerment in our lives. Now, another function of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, which is also continued in the New Testament, is purification. First was power, and then purification. In the Old Testament, it looked ahead, though, to the Spirit's future inner transformation or purifying or sanctifying work. This can be seen in Ezekiel chapter 36, 25 to 27. It says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. And I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my Spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." Ezekiel was describing a future time when God would transform the hearts of His people by His own Spirit taking residence in their life. Now, we know that when we accept Jesus' sacrifice for us, for the sins that we've committed, that God's Holy Spirit takes residence within our life. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." But God also not only wants you to have the seal, but He wants you to be filled to the fullness of the Spirit. Now, let me take a moment and share from God's word where it expresses the Spirit's involvement in our life. Now, according to Paul, he writes in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, he tells us this, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into the one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. There are not many spirits. There is one Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about two different spirits that come upon us, just one. The one that takes residence, but then the one that Jesus talks about as in a baptism. And I'll talk to you in a moment about that. Paul's teaching mostly on the Holy Spirit, though, as you read through his letters to the churches, it emphasizes, though, the Spirit's inner transformation and purifying work from salvation to purification, to sanctification, to being made holy, the work that the Spirit helps us. Now, Luke is another writer that helps us, and he emphasizes almost exclusively, interesting enough, the Spirit's role empowering the Spirit or the person for service. Luke 24:49, he records the words of Jesus. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. In Acts 1, we hear it again. On one occasion, while he, Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, John clearly, as we understand, in his day, he baptized with water, as we do here when we have our water baptism. It's interesting that that's how we continue to baptize today, is by what we call immersion, or we submerge. The word actually means to die, to take a cloth and place it under the water so that it absorbs completely that color. That's why we do the baptism. It's saying the old man is gone, and therefore I'm taking on a new man and raising up into new life. That's what water baptism is. Interesting enough, it's the same comparison that Jesus uses. It's in Jesus' language when he says, John baptized with water, but in a few days I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That being baptized in the Holy Spirit means I'm going to take on, I'm going to be died, I'm going to take on the fullness of the Spirit. That we would be what? Empowered to be witnesses. That's what it's about. Now, the book of Acts is also written by Luke, and it uses several expressions throughout the book of Acts to describe the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Here's some of them, like this one, be baptized in the Spirit, or the Spirit coming or falling or is upon, or the Spirit will be poured out. You've heard these phrases. Or the promise of the Father, that's referring to the Holy Spirit, or the gift of the Spirit, or receiving the Spirit, or being filled with the Spirit. These are all terms that are used through Acts. But the terminology is simply an attempt by Luke to help us understand the meaning of the Holy Spirit experience, that we need it, that we should receive it, that we need to be filled with it. What can you expect when you get filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me give you the short answer, and I've already read it, but I'll read it to you again, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have a power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witness. I believe the main purpose for the infilling of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness. That is the main reason that God wants to put His fullness of His Spirit in you. When we receive God's power to be His witness, we should reach out to our neighborhoods and the whole world. That's why a trip would go to Jamaica. Because wherever God puts us, wherever He sends us. But let me give you some abilities that the Holy Spirit gives to believers to witness. Are you ready? Number one, the Spirit gives us boldness under pressure. How many remember the story in Acts where Peter and John were thrown into prison because they healed a man in the name of Jesus? You remember that story? There's a crippled man. And all of a sudden, rise up in the name of Jesus. And he gets up and it stirs up the city. Because they said he was healed in the name of Jesus, throw him in prison. Church, I feel like we could be getting closer and closer to that day. The name of Jesus is a stumbling block for many. And our world is struggling with it. That's what the Bible tells us. But this is the power of that name. Because these two men were tentative or listening to the Holy Spirit and were not tentative in their life, but boldly just went out. They're thrown in prison. Well, the religious leaders, they kept them in prison overnight. But the next day, Peter and John get out and listen to their defense. Acts 4, 8 to 13. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you got to catch this. This is not old Peter. Remember, old Peter said, I don't even know him. I don't even know who you're talking about. Him, never seen him in my life. Denies him. Is wondering. But the new Peter on the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, comes out and says, listen, this is exactly what God was talking about when he spoke through Joel and the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden he begins to preach the gospel and 3,000 lives are changed that day. This Peter gets up filled with the Holy Spirit and says to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures, where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. You talk about bold. Then the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. God gives you boldness when he fills you with his Spirit. Not only boldness, but secondly, the Spirit gives us revelation knowledge. Peter and the disciples, it's interesting to me, they didn't display any real insight into Scripture in relation to the mission of Jesus, what he came to do before the day of Pentecost. They had been with the man for 3 years, and they're still saying, what does all this mean? They didn't have any understanding. Jesus would try to reveal the scripture, tell them what it means, and they still struggled to understand it. But on the day of Pentecost, once they were filled with the Holy Spirit, listen, Peter steps out with incredible insight and relates what happened in the upper room to the passages of Joel, Psalms, and Deuteronomy. All of a sudden, Peter, by the inspiration and revelation of the Holy Spirit, says, this is what Joel said. And David wrote about it in the Psalms. And Deuteronomy said, and all of a sudden, the scripture came to life because of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You see, revelation knowledge is the ability to understand the true meaning of scripture as given only by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Also, third, the Spirit gives us inspired speech. Now, this is two different, if I could do an A and a B point under here, I would. But it simply means that when we speak, the Holy Spirit supplies the words. Now, there's several ways we see this in Acts. One is in witnessing or preaching. Paul describes it this way. He says that, you know, the Holy Spirit will help you to know the words you need to say when you need to say them. Folks, there are times we're out there, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, but the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say, to preach, or to witness. When Peter, interesting enough, in chapter 2 of Acts, addresses the crowd, okay? He's about to stand up and address. The word address is the exact word as enable. That's earlier in the scripture where it says the Spirit enabled him. He stands up and he is enabled, addresses the people. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit helping him. The B part of this, these words of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. But not just tongues, prophecy as well, or Spirit-inspired praise. In Acts 2, listen, the Spirit inspired or enabled them to speak in other tongues. In Acts chapter 10, it tells us they spoke in tongues and they began to praise God. In Acts 19, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Speaking in tongues serves as an evidence of receiving the Spirit, at least three cases in Scripture, Acts 2, 10, and 19. Then there's other scriptures that allude to that. But the Holy Spirit desires to use us as an instrument of God's voice for proclaiming the gospel as well as personal praise. Now, our desire should be that the Spirit Himself would work through us to fulfill God's purposes in our world. It's not just about tongues. If we think we are filled with God's Spirit and I speak in tongues, and yet you neglect God's call to evangelize the world, you are deceived. You did not receive the Holy Spirit just to walk around and be part of the I have. I have to go. God put something within me to empower me to do a work for Him. Spirit-filled people live their whole life with the power of the Spirit. Listen, it's good to seek tongues. It can become a useful gift in your own personal prayer, private prayer life or praise life. In fact, in the corporate setting, the Holy Spirit that can use those gifts, whether it's prophecy or healing or tongues and interpretation. It's a powerful thing when the Spirit steps in and works that way. But walking in the Spirit daily, having Him help us in our thought life, letting Him direct our lives, our actions as believers to lead others to Christ, that is the most important part. And the reason we should desire to be filled with the Spirit is that we want to be baptized by the Spirit so we can fulfill His work. So who can get the baptism? Well, Acts 2:39, Peter tells us in his message, this promise is for you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, praise God. All who have been called by the Lord our God. As the church moves forward in this new millennium that we have stepped into, is continuing to be surrounded by an ever-growing wickedness, church. And it is essential that we should desire to receive an anointing, a baptism of the Holy Spirit to keep our lives clean from it. We need the power that comes from the Holy Spirit in our lives to fulfill what God has called us to do. One of our Assembly of God pastors, who is a great writer and a theologian even, but Dr. Wade Goodall writes in a book called The Blessing, and he writes these words, and I have them for you. If your employer offered you a new tool to do your job with less effort or less physical effort, but more excellence and precision, would you take advantage of that offer? If a friend told you the availability of a new program that has great ability to assist people in their effort to be a better husbands and wives and parents, would you be interested in that program? Isn't it amazing to me, or is to me, that there's so many seminars out there, so many things, you'll be a better parent, you can be a better husband. And I'm not in a disagreement, but I'm telling you, there is something you need more than a seminar. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. How about an offer of some way to improve your Christian witness or multiply your efforts for God's kingdom? God has offered you a gift that will give you greater power than you could ever acquire naturally. Luke calls it might power. and it will release the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So you ask, how can I receive the baptism? The scriptures do not give a formula. But let me give you some following considerations. Number one, this experience is for all believers. Joel's prophecy, repeated by Peter on the day of Pentecost, stresses that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. Everyone who's put their faith in Jesus, if you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have to understand the experience is for you. Secondly, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. Luke 11, Jesus says, "You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" God will never give you anything fake. He desires to give His Holy Spirit to His children. Let me remind you of this. It's a gift. And it's not because you deserve it. The Father has promised a gift for you. You just receive it by faith. But third, God's Spirit already lives in you. God's Spirit is already in me. If you're a Christian, this is true of you today. The Holy Spirit indwells all believers. Therefore, the Spirit baptism is an additional work of the already indwelling Spirit. It's not just the drop, but it's the full cup. You get it all. Number four, you have to say, "I am open and receptive." God will not baptize a person against their will. He does not invade your life. Yielding to the Lord and having a willingness to submit to Him will help lead to one being baptized in the Spirit. Is especially true of speaking in tongues. You cooperate with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not come into your life and possess your tongue. The Bible says they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't generate the tongue speaking. They just responded to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Listen, it has amazed me, the more I travel, the more I come across different languages out there, that in our American culture, we have a problem. We're not just American, we are so English-based that anything outside of that sounds weird. How many of you have ever gone somewhere and you've seen the Japanese or the Chinese with all their cameras going, and you go, "That is so funny." Be honest. I'm not trying to stare. You've seen it. And we don't understand it because it's out of our understanding. You need to know that the Holy Spirit, that God is not limited by syllables. Syllables don't mean anything. I can use words today. Somebody else up here could talk in Creole and Spanish and French and Italian, and it would sound totally different to you. Because your ears aren't trained to hear it. Your ears aren't trained to understand it. But the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues through us was never for you anyway. Jack Hafer tells of a story where he was on a plane sitting next to a gentleman. And God speaks to his heart and says, "Speak to that man in tongues." Jack Hafer, a great pastor in our nation, goes, you know all those feelings like, "God, what?" But in obedience, Jack Hayford begins to speak to him in another tongue as the Holy Spirit gave utterance. He finishes and the man looks at him and says, "How do you know my native language?" He was American, native Indian, and it came from it was a dead language, only he knew it from his father and grandfather. It wasn't being used. Of course, Jack Hayford at this time is saying, what did I say? And the man began to tell him, you begin to tell me about the great God who loves me. The Holy Spirit takes syllables and uses them like we don't understand. We don't have to understand it. We just become an instrument. We become a tool of God to reach mankind. But it was never about the tongues. It was about the salvation of that man sitting there to reach him where he lived. He needed to hear that. And so, church, we get so wrapped up in the tongues and all of that. And I don't know where you stand on it today. But by the way, we are a Pentecostal church. That's who we are. And church, without the Spirit life, and I know I've been here 5 years and I've talked about the Spirit, but not this way, because I don't feel like I've been released to until today. Why the Holy Spirit held me for so long, I don't know. But it is time for church, us to be released and be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Number five. God's timing is not always ours. You need to understand that. Since the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift, the timing and its giving is in the hands of the giver. The Lord responds, yes, to a believing prayer and to faith, but in accordance to His will. It's evident in the book of Acts and in that experience of the outpouring of the Spirit. It happened at unique and unexpected times. All of a sudden, they said, wow, we believed and we've accepted Christ, but we hadn't heard anything about this Spirit. And all of a sudden, as Peter begins to speak about the Spirit of God, he just fell on the place and they began to speak in tongues. It was an evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Consequently, a person who wants to be baptized in the Spirit, though, can't condemn themselves, him or herself, if the experience doesn't take place the way you desired it to. For me, it was at home. Wait a minute. I grew up in church. I prayed at the altar. I'd gone to youth camp and children's camps. That's where you get filled with the Holy Spirit. I went to the revivals that used to happen 3 days and a week long. And I would pray and say, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And it happened at home for me. One day, my brother came over, and they weren't at home, or my parents were home, but my brother had moved out, and he came back, and there was a need. And I don't remember what the need was, but as we just began to pray, the Holy Spirit fell on me, and all of a sudden, I began to speak in other tongues. Let me tell you, this morning, I have already spoken tongues. Your pastor is weird. Several years ago, I didn't question it, but I just said, God, I want something fresh. I do not want to live my life. I feel like, I don't know how many of you ever felt like your tongues is the same old thing, same old thing. You ever felt that way? Thank you. One of us, two of us in this place, we got it. A few others. So I asked God, I said, God, would you give me a new language? I really want to know. Well, I'll be honest with you, there's probably about 4 different languages that come out of me. One, when I'm in deeper intercession, and it is the weirdest and most aggressive language. And probably very few of you have heard me there. But I'm afraid to say it. It's just whoa. But it's not me. It's like me coming and kind of use you as an example again and say, you know what, you have a need and let's pray, you need healing. And we begin to pray. But my words fail me very quickly, church. Lord healer and Lord healer and Lord toucher and healer. And do you know what I mean? And I can make up and find synonyms and all of that. But then that's when the Spirit begins to pray. The Spirit begins to take over because He knows the mind of God. I don't. And all I've become is an instrument and a vessel. And it's not even my words that do anything. I'm just an instrument that is linking arms with heaven. We sang it this morning, that heaven and earth would become one. And that's that Spirit life. And it just begins to boil out. And I just pray. And it's not me. Then God begins to do something. Because my words are weak. In fact, if it was my words, I'd just be praying for you. And all I got to do is say, you know, Lord, heal her. And church, I've seen it abused. I know it's real, and you need to understand, healings happen because of God, not because of man. Though God will work because he's faithful to his word. He is faithful to people who have faith. That's why those things happen. We are just a tool, just an instrument to be used of God. Pastor Matt, would you come? Let me end with two questions. Question number one. Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? That's question number one. The question is followed on, but if you haven't, church, what better time to begin to seek it? I don't know if it'll happen this morning or when you get home. A few years ago, it was right over here in this section. In the middle of worship, it was one of our young people got filled with the Holy Spirit as they began to sing. I remember in our services in Canada, we were worshiping. It's not the spirit filling, but someone received healing. God works in his time and his ways. So church, I'm asking you, if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, desire it. Question number two. If you have been filled with the Spirit, what are you doing with it? How are you living? What is it changed you? Or was it just something that happened a long time ago and that was it? Church, my salvation happened in 1972. But let me tell you this. This morning, his mercies were new this morning. I started walking again with God this morning when I got up. Not only that, I was filled with the Holy Spirit in 74. And you know what? And that day, it was great. And then in the 90s is when God began to do something fresh in my life. But let me tell you, this morning I got up and I just began to talk to him in that prayer language. Why? Because I want it fresh today. I don't want to live on yesterday. I want God to be a part of my life today, because when I stepped up here, I want to be able to share his truth and his word and bring life to you. Why? Because you need power. You do. The temptations, everything out there, it will overwhelm you unless you have the Spirit of God that is speaking to you, leading you, directing you. And you just, Lord, I'm going to take this step. And okay, Lord, I'll go that way. And we just listen. We walk according to the Spirit. Church, here's how I want to end, though. I don't know if you need to be refilled with the Spirit. I don't even know if that's a biblical term, to be honest. I think you understand my thought behind it. How about refreshed? How about just needing that refreshing of the Spirit? Maybe it's a first time. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will not grab your tongue and begin to move it. You just release, and it doesn't matter what words come out. You may say, well, it doesn't make sense, or it sounds like somebody else. Listen, that's why there's no method. There were times that they laid their hands on him and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Other times he just fell upon them. Other times they just sought him and they were filled. Church, I can't fill you. I don't have that power. But Almighty God has a gift for you if you'll receive it. And then you can walk in the power of his Spirit. When I tell you each week, have a Spirit or have a Jesus-filled week, I'm talking about a Word-filled week. I'm talking about a life in Christ week. I'm talking about having that fullness that he desired for you. That's what I'm saying. I wanted to have that Jesus life everywhere. The church, he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, what shall be? Isn't that interesting that the Spirit is the one who brings about righteousness and right acts in our life, not you? You'll be filled if you desire it and you seek it, if you hunger and you thirst. Don't ask for tongues. Ask for the fullness of God, the fullness of the Spirit. Then let God do what God does. You just release and yield yourself.